Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. Jump in Tucson is a unique format show with a different host each day covering a wide range of topics. I host Mondays, the Wonder Series, about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. Tuesday, Ted Maxwell talks about the engagement hour of getting involved in your community. On Wednesday, Grant Kruger hosts restaurants and current events. And on Thursdays, Tom Moulton talks Visit Tucson in conjunction with Felipe Garcia. And it talks about attractions in Tucson and fun things to do. Then on Fridays, we talk about great success stories in Tucson and businesses and organizations that have done good things. And so we have one of those this morning, someone who's been successful in a unique niche. And good morning, Jane Hamilton.
Good morning, Ed. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, you're an old hat with radio. You even had your own show at KVOI many years ago. So radio is second fiddle to you.
Love the radio.
Yeah. So Jane Hamilton is the owner and operator of Jane Hamilton Fine Art up at Campbell and Skyline, and you have a beautiful, beautiful gallery and beautiful artwork in there. Let's talk a little bit first before we talk about some cool things that are going to be happening at the gallery even tonight. Let's talk about you and the 1970s and living in a teepee in New Mexico, and how that kind of launched you on your career to Tucson.
Well, it was a different time, let's say.
Yeah.
So there were lots of us out there in the teepees in those days for the experience, and I was out there in my teepee on the mesa. And I didn't know what I was going to do when I went back inside, which is code for, it's going to be winter and you can't stay out here past September. And somebody stopped by and said, hey, why don't you pray about it? And I said, pray about what? What are you going to do next? Your life? I said, I don't know about that. And then a couple days later, it sort of stuck with me. And I did a little popcorn prayer like, hey, Lord, God, if there is a God, whoever you are, here's what I need. I need this and do something interesting, not work on, the whole nine yards. Kind of forgot about it. And a few weeks later, I was a person in Taos in those days who sat in for stores. I was a store sitter. You'd call me, or you wouldn't call me. I lived in a teepee. You'd see me on the street. You'd say, hey, come sit in my store. I need to go fishing.
No cell phones.
And I'd come and sit in your store for a couple of days while you went fishing or visited a relative or something. But anyway, so I bumped into this guy, and he kept saying, I want you to come sit in my gallery for a couple of days for 2 weeks and answer the phone. I said, I don't want to do that. I don't know anything about art. I'm not interested. And he really, every time I turned around the corner, he was standing there saying, you got to do this. You got to do this. Finally said, okay, I'll do it. And when I walked in the door, I kind of had an epiphany, total peace. And I thought, what? What's this? So, but within 2 weeks, I sold 5 paintings. And the person I was replacing never came back. So they said, you have to work here. You're one of us. I said, I'm one of who? Said, you're an art dealer. I said, how do you know? And they said, art dealers sell art, and everybody else answers the phone.
That's great.
So I was.
So there, that kind of launched your career.
45 years ago.
That launched your career in selling art and brokering art, as they say.
Yep.
So, yeah. So you are a natural art dealer is what he was indicating to you.
There you go.
So from there you moved and you went to Bisbee for a while and had a couple of 4 children, 4 wonderful kids. Yeah.
Yep. I had 4 kids along the path. I opened my gallery in Bisbee in 1992.
With a whopping $400,
with
right?
$400 and the 4 kids,
yeah.
And it was a real walk in faith, total walk in faith. I'd probably talk you out of it if you came to me today and said you had $400 and 4 kids, you'd just start a business.
Right.
But I had total peace about it. I'd been on a fast for 10 days, drinking water and praying, and I had just total peace about it. The guy was hanging my sign outside of my gallery on Little Subway Street where I started, and someone saw him on the ladder and said, hey, let's go over there and see what they're doing in there. And they walked in, and I had 4 paintings on the wall, and the guy said, hey, if I buy one of these, there's nothing in our, nothing but paintings on the floor, there's nothing, not even a chair. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. And so he said, "You have a phone?" And I said, "No, I don't have a phone." Okay, does your neighbor have a phone? No. Okay, go to a neighbor with a phone and call the little airport in Bisbee and see if they can measure the door of my plane. And if this painting fits in the door, I'll buy it. So by 1 inch, I sold my first painting the day before I opened. And he said, "I don't want to be offensive, but can I ask what you're going to do with this $750? And I said, "Well, I'm going to get a telephone, and then I'm going to make business cards with my phone number on them." And he said, "You're kidding." And I said, "Not at all."
That's great.
So that's how we started.
You launched the business the day before you opened.
Yep,
you got your first
sale. Before.
So,
yep.
So it was Providence, probably, that it was just, you're a natural born art seller.
I guess.
Yeah.
I was lucky. I mean, Bisbee's not the place you'd pick to start a big business. But, you know, it wasn't about being big. It was about supporting my children and doing something that I loved. And I'd already done this for 13 years for other people. But as everyone knows who has their own business, when you turn the door key and it's your business and you're paying the bills, it's different.
Right. When your name is on the
on the wall.
Yeah, you're signing the front of the check and not the back of the check.
There you go.
It's a different kind of an experience. And all of your four kids worked for you briefly.
Yeah, everybody did stuff. Amy, who's now a doc, she did our books until I could afford a bookkeeper. Rebecca and Sarah helped with openings and receptions, delivering, you know, handing out cookies. And in those days, we had a punch bowl. My son Joseph, he was a baby he was five at the time. He was at the babysitter.
Right.
But everybody else helped a lot. And now that they're grown up, they've also helped in it. Joseph's helped me a lot with delivering and selling art, and so has Sarah, who lives here, and she's also an artist.
Yeah, that's good. Well, maybe you'll sell some of her stuff at your place, right?
We have.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Well, a true success story of going from a teepee in New Mexico to a beautiful store up at I guess it's not called a store; it's called a gallery.
Up at
Campbell and Skyline. When we come back after the break, we'll talk a little bit about what you do up there now and the different kinds of things that you have available for people to see, and we'll talk a little bit about the event that you have tonight, which will be a good place for people to come and take a look and see what the beautiful art is that you have and the beautiful venue that you have there and some of the fun things that you can do when you visit Jane Hamilton's Fine Art. We're speaking with Jane Hamilton. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. We'll be back right after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley, and our guest this morning is Jane Hamilton of Jane Hamilton Fine Art. Jane, I noticed that the name is Jane Hamilton Fine Art, not Fine Arts. So tell the little story about how
come it was supposed to be Fine Arts, but the woman who was painting the sign, who was a great Hallmark card designer, forgot the S. Yeah. So we said, okay, let's be Fine Art.
That's great.
So there we are.
That's a great story. Yeah, that's all part of the Bisbee days, right?
Yeah, Bisbee days.
Yeah. Well, you've been up at Skyline and Campbell in a beautiful facility for about 15 years now. And tell us a little bit about that venue and how that has changed the way you've approached the gallery business and all the beautiful things that...
So I have a beautiful space there in Plaza Colonial. And... besides our beautiful, the artists, we represent about 30 artists and their work. And we have many collectors. We have events there. We've had several special things there. We've had people get engaged by surprise. We've had celebration of lives. And we had a wedding there in May in our gallery. It's a lovely space. But every month we do an art walk with our neighbors. And tonight is the art walk for July. It's usually first Thursday, but since it's July 4th yesterday, we decided to do it tonight. So we're hoping a lot of people will come. It's from 4 to 7. We have food, music, refreshments. The artists will be there who live in town, who are here. And it's just a fun time to get out and stroll around, see what's in the galleries. Up at the Foothills Art District.
How many other galleries are in that little space there?
Well, there's just me and Wildmire Gallery next door to me and Sunset Interiors and Karimi Rugs, we all do it in our center. Mm-hmm. Usually we do it with our neighbors across the street, Settlers West and Sanders Gallery, but they're not doing it tonight.
Right.
They'll start again next month.
Because of the holiday, yeah.
Yeah.
So selling art is your calling and is kind of your vocation now. And you have 30 artists at this beautiful space, but how do you know what art to represent and what is going to sell and what to bring in and what do you hope goes out the door as soon as possible?
So you never really know. It's kind of, you know, it's sort of political for me because I have to have a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I have some of this and some of that, and a lot of people like landscapes and some people want sculpture. I have sculptures outside on the street corner and around the building, glass and steel. We have glass in the gallery. We have paintings. We have sculptures, oils, acrylic, watercolor, you name it. But so if I have too many, like right now I have several landscape painters. So when landscape people come to me, I can't even, you know. So it's kind of like I look at it and decide, well, I think I can sell it or not. Mm-hmm. And I try. And we give it 6 months. And we ask them to come and show up for things, mm-hmm. be present, meet people. People want to meet the artists, and we see how it goes.
How much of the art is sold right there in the gallery to people who come and see it in person? And how much of it is sold to people like, the, say, for instance, the gentleman from Bisbee who wanted to put it on a plane and send it somewhere else? Do you have some people that visit you online?
Yeah, we have lots of visitors. Of course, U of A draws a big lot of people. Parents come. Their parents weekend. They come for homecoming. Mm-hmm. A lot of alums come. A lot of alums have moved back, I found. And we sell them art. We do ship a lot. We ship a lot. So some people come, a couple weeks later they call, hey, I saw this, would you ship it to me? Right. Or they have second or third homes and they say, you know, we want this in this other house, ship it over there. So we sell a lot in the store, but also we do ship quite right. a bit.
Is Jane Hamilton at Jane Hamilton Fine Art, are you an artist or you just have the eye
for
I'm
not an artist. I call myself a sort of a writer. Mm-hmm. I wrote for several years for a couple of three different papers in Cochise County before I moved up here. And I'm now writing a book about right. my 45 years of art life and raising kids, not necessarily in that order.
Yeah. How far along are you with the book and when did you project that?
As a work of love,
it'll take a while probably.
It takes a while. It's taken a couple of years.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to finish it this year.
Right. And then you would have that, I know where you can have a good book signing. You can have it at Jane Hamilton Fine Art, where that's a good place to have a book signing. And that's another good thing.
And I've had them there.
Yeah. So what has changed? Obviously, when you started out in Taos and New Mexico, you were in a teepee and you were living off the land and kind of centering yourself. And then you moved to Bisbee, which is, as you say, maybe not the mecca of art dealership in the world per se. But then you move into Tucson, you're 15 years now. What has changed over those 40 years?
So let me just tell you that I'll give you a short version. So there we are in Taos in our little gallery, right? And you come in and your wife's going to go shopping and you want her to see this painting you like. And you say, you know, can you give me a photo? Uh-huh. So I drag out this awful Polaroid camera and I take a terrible photo right. and I give it to you and I'll never see you again.
Right.
And you come in my gallery in Tucson and you say, hey, my wife's shopping. I would like to show her this. And in, you know, I've already got it on my website. And in 5-10 seconds, I email you that photo.
Right.
That's very different.
And the resolution and the beauty of it and the color and the way it pops off the screen is a lot different than a Polaroid.
The Polaroids didn't work. Let's just say that. There's a reason they're not around anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, we didn't have computers. We didn't have any tech. We didn't have anything. We had people walk in the door.
Right.
And if the weather was good.
Right. And now people obviously walk in the door. There's a couple of restaurants up there near you. And so people stroll in. And
they go to Tavolino, Wild Garlic Grill. Prayers out to Maudie and Steve, who are in Cancun right now, for a safe journey back. We have half the art in Wild Garlic Grill. We have art at Hacienda del Sol.
Great, one of our good advertisers, yeah.
Yeah, we have great art there. We have a Giuseppe's. We have the whole restaurant. My neighbor Affinity Kitchen, we have all the art in there. So we try to show in other places besides just our gallery.
Giuseppe's is also has been on to talk about their
business. We've been with them since the beginning.
Yeah, they're wonderful guys. Yeah,
I've sold 35 paintings out of there.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah.
So that's a good thing for you. It's good for the like Hacienda and Giuseppe's. It's good for them because they have beautiful art hanging on their walls.
Well, that's us.
And then it's good for you because it gets some exposure to
and
the artists.
And I send people there all the time, you know, go to Hacienda, have a drink, have lunch.
Right.
People never heard of it that are visiting, maybe.
Right.
So I say, you know, it's 3 miles down the road. Go over there. We have sculpture, Big Bell outside. We have sculpture outside on the courtyard.
Right.
And the restaurant off the restaurant outside, we have art in the dining room. We just sold a big painting in the dining room and one outside.
How do you decide what gets to be in the gallery at your place and which gets to go offsite to one of the restaurants or other venues?
So usually I can decide with Affinity Kitchen, we decide together, and with Hacienda del Sol, Jeff Tymon decides with me. And with Giuseppe's, I just pick everything I want. And with Wild Garlic Grill, Steve and Maudie let me kind of do what I want. I have the right side of the room and a big sculpture outside.
Right. And when you pick an artist, do you have them in both places? Do you have them in your gallery, but then also have them in another venue?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. So they get the artist is getting some pretty good exposure then to a wide variety of...
Plus, we send a lot of people. We work with our neighbors. We send a lot of people. I really like to work together with whomever I can, where I have art, and send people there and help them as well.
So what is the future of Jane Hamilton, and what is the future of Jane Hamilton Fine Art? What do you look for as you have these art walks and you're 15 years, not quitting anytime soon, and it's going to be, how are you going to grow or continue?
I've actually been in Tucson since 2001, first on River Road over by P.F. Chang's.
Right.
So I've been up here 22 years. I don't know. We're just going along. We have featured shows from November to April, as well as the art walk. Art walks are always first Thursday, and then usually the second or third week, we have featured artists that come from out of state for shows. And
this is a good opportunity for people to actually interact with the artist and get to know them.
Otherwise, I mean, I'm always there, but if you want to meet the artist, you have to come to a show.
Right.
Or an art walk night like tonight.
Right, and actually interact with the artist.
Yeah, then you can meet them and ask them how they do, and take a look at everything that's, you know, really... It's eye candy. I had a lot of people come in during COVID. I never closed, and they came in. I just have to walk through some place and see something beautiful.
Right. So that's been a gift that you've been able to yourself just to be around beautiful art for so many years.
Yeah, I love color. I love art. And I'm a people person. My mom used to say, people collect dogs and cats and you collect people.
That's great. That's a good one. Well, I saw you in action talking with some customers and just kind of counseling them on the different kinds of art and so forth. So you're kind of you give them a tutoring experience too on art when you're talking to them about what would fit and what their needs are and what they're looking for.
And a lot of times I go to the house myself, especially if they can't decide. I just went out last week and they were back and forth. And I said, that's it. Give me your address. I'm coming out. I'll bring all three and you pick the one you want.
Right. And so you actually take it out and show them,
what
it will look like in their home.
Well, hang it in for them and say, do you want it or not?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that way they can see it in place.
Right.
And it's fun to see the houses and see all the different ways things have been built and remodeled. And, you know, Tucson's every little cubby has different kinds of houses.
Right.
It's just wonderful.
Yeah. Well, Jane Hamilton, you say that you listen to Jump In Tucson.
And I do. I love Jump In. I listen to it.
Yeah. Talking about success stories.
Radio.
So, you're a testament to the kinds of stories that we like to tell on Jump In Tucson, the success stories that demonstrate what we do here and what you do in the community.
Well, I would just give honor to the Lord that gave me the inspiration to start doing this 45 years ago. And at the end, I think if people don't know what they're going to do, maybe they should pray about it.
Yeah, a leap of faith. You certainly took a leap of faith. And look at the success that you've had in the art business. And so if people want to look you up, give us a couple of things. Jane Hamilton Fine Art, where can they go for your website?
JaneHamiltonFineArt.com.
Okay.
We are located in Plaza Colonial at the southwest corner of Skyline and Campbell. And we're open every day but Monday. And come tonight and see us. It'll be fun.
4 to 7 tonight, and a little bit of refreshments, some music, and they can look around.
Guitar. Doug Shelton's going to be playing guitar on the Portal, and a guest guitarist who I won't say his name, but
right.
I'm married to him.
Ah. Well, we'll see him tonight because I plan on being there for a little while. So, well, Jane Hamilton Fine Art, thank you so much for sharing your success story with us this morning on Jump in Tucson. It's a pleasure meeting you.
It's nice to meet you.
And you're excellent, excellent example of success in Tucson, Arizona. So you're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk station. We'll be back in just a minute with the second half of Jump in Tucson. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is the Friday success stories. Of we do Mondays, we do Wonder at the University of Arizona. Tuesday, Ted Maxwell does engagement. Wednesday, Grant does restaurants and current events. On Thursdays, Tom Moulton does Visit Tucson and the good attractions in Tucson. And then on Fridays, we do something that we call success stories, where we talk about organizations and companies that have a successful run here in Tucson. And so this segment, we're going to speak with Carlos Aragon. I said that pretty good, didn't I?
You did.
From Reach for the Stars. Good morning, Carlos.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell us a little bit about you and about how you got involved looking at the stars and being an astronomer and stargazing kind of a guy. So what a little bit about your background, because you have, obviously, you have a secondary reason why you do this. So.
Yeah. I was in the military. I was in the Air Force as a C-130 mechanic, and I loved my career.
Right.
I was having a great time doing everything I could to learn as much as I could. And after 6 years, I found myself one day, woke up, went to work, and I was severely injured.
Hmm.
So all of a sudden, after years of training and work and planning to go 20 years to retire or more, everything had changed. Everything right. ended. So at that point, I was medically retired, and everything took a turn for a worse, for the worse.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up dependent to painkillers, losing a lot of friends, some family, and ended up homeless here in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to rehab, and one day I had gotten a small telescope for our son, a toy telescope from
right.
Walmart. The reason this is significant is because at the time I was quite depressed. I wasn't doing very well. Even though I'd been to rehab, I was clean, I was starting to get my life together. I didn't know what I was supposed to do, what my purpose was.
Right.
And I was just kind of losing myself. So the small toy telescope, we brought it home. I set it up in the backyard before my son arrived because he was at his friend's house. And I looked through the lens of this little plastic toy. I pointed it at the brightest thing in the sky, and it was Jupiter. It was Jupiter with its cloud bands coming across it. It was Jupiter with four moons around it in almost a perfect line. And I could see the great red spot. That was incredible to me. It blew my mind that I could be transformed through time and space from Earth and see something like that, something real. And it was drifting across the eyepiece. It was phenomenal. It was magical. And from that point on, I had a new perspective on life. I was uplifted. I was motivated. I wanted to learn more. That perspective made me understand that my problems are so insignificant in the entire world,
right?
But also the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Yet as I learned more about astronomy and the stars that are out there and the matter and galaxies and nebulae, the same ingredients, the top four ingredients that are made in stars, are the same ingredients in order that are in our own bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So even though our problems can be seen as small, we are connected to the stars and we are very important. And it's just a really awesome harmony between us humans and the universe that's out there waiting to be discovered.
Well, that's great. We're talking with Carlos Aragon from Reach for the Stars. You know, I teach at the University of Arizona, and towards the end of the semester, I always show the pale blue dot from Carl Sagan.
Oh my gosh.
and that view of the Earth from a distance, and how, you know, as you say, young people at that age, you know, their world, everything revolves around them. It's all about them and their education and their social life and their family and all the jobs that they're looking for and so forth. And try to give them a realistic view of that, you know, not that insignificance, you don't want to say that you're insignificant, but mm-hmm. what a huge universe we live in, and how the Earth is just a small blip on this huge beach of sand. If all the stars were grains of sand, there are so many of them, and here we're just one little grain of sand out there.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It does change your perspective, doesn't it?
It sure does. And when you're out there under the stars and you see something like that, I mean, even Saturn's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It is mind-blowing, and it brings a sense of awe, and that's what we're all about. So we figured, so I went through this process of struggling mm-hmm. to getting a new outlook on life. We realized that if that worked for me, imagine what it can do for a child
right.
who's being bullied at school or struggling to learn. And so we started learning more and getting bigger telescopes and asking for help in the community. And we created a program that uses astronomy to help youth and the community with their mental health and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, we threw in STEM and art. So STEAM.
STEAM, okay.
So a lot of people know STEM. We just threw an A in there for art. Just to foster creative thinking skills, creative expression. There's so many good things and positive things about art and STEM and the future, you know, that could set them up for career trajectories. There's all types of things in that. And so we combine everything into this one amazing, unique, pioneering nonprofit that we call Reach for the Stars.
How do you get the young people involved? Is it referral from schools, or is it the community? How are they coming to your program, and how are you getting engaged with those students that are the young people that need a little extra boost and need some STEM, some STEAM to get them going?
We rely on word of mouth mm-hmm. and social media. We're not officially partnered with any school district, but we do get requests from schools and organizations and companies and church groups and the scouts to come and do events with them, or a few days of events, different programs that we have. So there's a lot of organizations and entities out there that we've worked with and we continue to work with, but we rely on social media, word of mouth, our volunteers, and we have a monthly stargazing event where we invite the entire public. That's where we give a 5-minute talk about what we do, what our programs are, and then we hand out information. So because we're so small, we don't want a huge influx of
right.
people. Because we work from home.
Yeah. You talked a little bit about how when you look through the Walmart telescope, and now obviously you've got some more professional arrangements, but when you look through it, how transformational it was for you. What is it like for a young person when they, you know, they're bebopping around, they look up and see stars, they don't really think about it, but then you put them in front of a telescope. Is it life-changing for them too? Do they see something that they've just kind of taken for granted?
Well, we can't exactly know what they're thinking,
right?
But we view their expressions and what they say. They say that they want to come back to every camp there is.
Right.
They want to come to every stargazing event there is. They want their own telescope. They want to learn more. So we focus on slowing the kids' minds down and letting them really sit in the moment out there under the stars, and kind of practice mindfulness and talk about what we're thinking, slowing down, breathing exercises, and then we let them look through the telescope. And that gives more room for a change to happen, whether it's a small spark or a memory that'll last the rest of their lives. We want that awe to last. And so we focus on creating the most mind-blowing astronomy programs there is.
So we're a clear skies city. We try to mitigate light pollution, and we have typically fairly good weather. When there's monsoon season like this and there's cloud cover and so forth, you can't dictate whether or not you can see the stars specifically, but how do you mitigate against that when you're scheduled something and it's kind of hard to see something?
Yeah, that's very true. We still schedule our monthly events and camps throughout monsoon season. Mm. We have one actually tomorrow. Right. But if it is cloudy, we just postpone and try again. Stargazing is only one part of our programs. We can do solar gazing, looking at the sun in very special, different types of solar telescopes, visual and imaging telescopes, some that just show sunspots like your typical solar glasses that I have here.
Right.
And then there's specific hydrogen alpha, which only allow hydrogen photons to travel through the filters. And you can see the entire chromosphere and prominences, the little flare-looking things sticking out the edge of the sun. It creates incredible views, and we can do it day or night. And if it's if there's clouds during the day and night, then we'll launch some water rockets, we'll do some experiments, we'll create some solar-powered airplanes. You know, there's all types of stuff we can do.
Right, and this is all centered on STEAM, as you call it, with a little bit of art thrown into the STEM stuff.
Yeah.
So when we come back, let's talk a little bit about the event you have coming up tomorrow night and stargazing and what you're going to do with the Deep Space Quest. And we'll talk a little bit more about how people can get involved in your program. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM. The Voice. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Ed Ackerley. With us this segment is Carlos Aragon. He is with Reach for the Stars, which is a unique program using STEAM, STEM plus art, to help young people get engaged with themselves and with some situations they might be going through. Let's talk a little bit, Carlos, welcome back, and let's talk a little bit about the Deep Space Quest that's coming up tomorrow.
All right. Tomorrow, Deep Space Quest. We are meeting at Gabe Zimmerman Trailhead. We do this once a month, and we're going to be setting up some of the largest mobile telescopes in Tucson, visual and imaging, live imaging gear, monster binoculars, activities for kids, and we're going to be doing this at Gabe Zimmerman Trailhead out in a dark spot just in Vail. It's close to the city, yet it's quite dark there. And we're going to be looking at galaxies, nebulae. The Milky Way is cutting across the Tucson night sky right now. All the big objects are up. All the incredible things are up. And so we're really excited.
And the moon is kind of at a stage where it's a little bit darker, and it's not in its full stage right now. So
that's correct. The moon's under the horizon, so it's going to be very dark, which means there's not going to be easy to spot constellations because there's going to be so many stars coming out.
Yeah.
All the stars kind of wash away the constellations, which are the brightest stars. And it's a blast. We even do live imaging on a big screen TV and show beautiful galaxies, nebulae. And then we send the images to the attendees who come afterwards. So it's a souvenir.
Who operates the telescopes and the digital imaging stuff? Who's in charge of that? You got some volunteers that help you with that?
Yeah, I'm the main presenter, but we have a small astronomy team who runs the telescopes as operators. Yet we are definitely looking for more because we only have about three right now. And if you have a telescope out there or know how to use one or are willing to learn, please let me know.
Okay. That'd be a good way for people to get engaged. So did you get involved in the eclipse, and did you have anything going on with that when that happened a couple weeks ago, several months ago, I guess now?
Yeah. My wife had a procedure at the time, but I did set up our telescopes in the backyard and recorded the entire thing and created a time lapse out of it. So we got a couple different views of the basic Mylar film solar sunspot view with just sunspots, and then the full hydrogen alpha view with the moon cutting all the way across. So really, really cool.
Bill had an opportunity to go to Texas, and my brother, who's sitting here with us, and watch it from Texas. I went down to Flandreau, out in front of Flandreau, and it was just amazing. When we talk about astronomy and we talk about things like the eclipse and you know, that garners people's attention, where they focus up to the skies and begin to think about that, it's interesting how perspective is changed, and the energy that was happening in front of, you know, the thousands of people that were there in front of Flandreau looking up at the eclipse. Astronomy isn't a daunting kind of a science, and it is for a person, you know, to answer that age old question, why are we here, or you know, how come I'm here right now, and looking up at the stars. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? I can see where it can be really therapeutic for people.
Yeah, it can bring that awe. It can be very profound for people. A lot of the elderly people who come out to our events who have never seen, for example, the moon or Saturn going through the eyepiece, a lot of them are brought to tears. Mm-hmm. You know, they say, why haven't I seen this? What, you know, where has this been my whole life? I wish I would have had this so much earlier. So we really try to bring a unique experience for people, an immersive experience, to create lasting memories and uplift people's mental wellness.
And the other interesting thing about looking up at the stars is that ironically, we're looking at the past when we look at the stars. Even the sun itself it takes 8 minutes for that proton to come from the sun to the Earth. And so what we're seeing is the sun basically 8 minutes ago. But the same with Jupiter and Saturn. We're seeing it as it was. It's a long time.
Like 30 minutes to an hour.
Right.
It's very interesting to think about. And when you really break it down and understand or explain it to people and to kids, it really sparks their interest and gets them really excited once they understand what they're looking at and what's happening. So interesting.
One thing that's really, really mind-boggling is to, you know, they have Hubble and the other space telescopes that are looking out, and they're looking back 13.5 billion years ago, and they're seeing what they call the edge of the visible universe. And you just have to ask the question, is that the edge because that's all we can see, or is there something on the other side of that edge? Does it go even further than what we can see? And that is a question that is, you know, I'm sure it will come to fruition at some point. But
let's hope so.
Yeah, but as we look at that light that's coming from the very beginning at the edge of the universe, that's a light that started 13 billion years ago, and we're seeing it today. And so you're looking back in history.
Yeah,
that is
absolutely
a mind-boggling thing. So when you talk about insignificance of our everyday problems that we're going through, it is pretty amazing that we're just a blip on the little history of time. We're just a little blip.
Yeah, and our sun, you know, is one sun of trillions of stars in our one galaxy.
Right.
There are trillions of galaxies out there, and on average, each star in every single galaxy has, on average, 1 to 2 planets on it.
Right.
So just in our galaxy alone, 2 trillion planets. Doesn't mean habitable planets, but there are so many crazy objects out there. It's a huge mystery, and there are 10,000 of beautiful objects crossing overhead while Tucson sleeps. And a lot of us astronomers are out there capturing them with our eyes or with cameras to share with the world.
So when you like you said, you had gone and gotten a little Walmart plastic, a little telescope, and now obviously you're using some pretty sophisticated things. I'm curious about the digital view. Is that basically a sophisticated digital camera that's looking up there and being able to record what it's seeing?
So it's a specific astronomy camera that has a Peltier or thermoelectric cooler on the sensor to cool it to minus 40 degrees Celsius. That allows for less noise and more details, and the photons, once they hit the sensor, they really create a noiseless image, that fuzz that's all over images when you take pictures at night.
Right.
So we connect that to the back of the telescopes, and find an object in the sky and take up to 30 hours of exposure just for one object. And then it takes a few hours of processing on the computer after that. So that's my hobby on the side.
Right. And then that's what you send to the kids after you send them what they were looking at. They get to have a picture of it later on for them to see.
The live views at the event on that TV screen, those are 5 to 10 minute exposures. And so what they see on the screen is what I send to them. But the ones I do at home are much, much longer, hours and hours of exposures. But they're still gorgeous either way.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the actual 501c3 and the nonprofit that you've started and Reach for the Stars. And just tell us, how can people get involved with you and be engaged with your process and, you know, maybe help you and support you however they can?
Find us on social media. We have events every month. We're looking for volunteers such as mental health professionals, astronomers, people who are willing to learn the telescopes, social media interns, HR people, ambassadors, teachers' aides, all types of things. So please find us on social media or our website, www.rftstars.com, and reach out.
Thank you, Carlos, for being with us and sharing the success of your nonprofit and the realization that there's a lot out there that we need to be looking at and getting centered on. So thank you for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me, Ed.
You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI. And we'll be back on Monday with some wonder stories and next Friday with some success stories. Thank you for listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM The Voice.